Welcome to Real Estate Redefined, brought to you by Seaport Real Estate Services, a podcast that is designed to transform the way you think, part of the industry, bringing you insights, strategies, and the latest trends to empower your real estate decisions. Let's get started. Tim Bray here, broker owner of Seaport Real Estate Services with Dan Lease, broker associate at Seaport. And we've got Mike Misch from OneTrust. Thanks, guys, for being here.
Thank you.
You guys are vested in solar a lot more than I am. So I'm really excited to get your opinions on whether it's smart to buy, to lease, just all of the things that we're hearing out there in the public about solar. And I've got to tell you, it's probably one of the most confusing topics that I have been around. So I'm glad I've got you guys with me. I want to ask you some simple questions. Hopefully it's going to be helpful. We're going to go through a series of podcasts. By the end of the podcast, I'm hoping that the level of clarity that we have in regard to the solar situation, we either have more questions or we've got more answers, and we're going to be able to help everybody out with that. And hopefully we'll get somebody from the solar industry in that you guys are going to ask a ton of questions to after this. So what is solar? How does it work?
Photovoltaic cells that collect the sun's energy and turn it into electricity. There's different efficiencies. There's a monocrystalline, forgot some of the other ones that are out there. And depending upon your use, the space you have, the cost, manufacturer, there's a lot of variables.
So is it always beneficial? Is it like, I have a house and can I just say, no matter what, I can just go out and get solar? Or do I have to be thinking about different things?
Well, I think anybody can get solar. It's a matter of usage, you know, where the panels are and how much light can be generated from the panels.
So the direction, my house.
So the direction, you know, obviously if you have a majority of your roof is north facing, which is never really that good.
You're going to have a lot of mold.
You're going to have a lot of mold and you're not going to generate a lot of solar. But it's definitely something that, you know, you do have to look at, because you have to look at your break-even cost, how much energy you use. Do you use mostly electric in your house? Do you have, you know, fossil fuels, oil, gas, propane, wood heat? And all of those can kind of, you know, look at your overall energy usage to see if it is beneficial. Solar companies will tell you, everybody, it's beneficial. It's kind of like Tesla saying everybody should drive an electric car.
Yes, exactly. So is it one of those things that is, why do people do it? Are there a couple different reasons why? What would make somebody go solar?
I think the normal residential consumer, on one side, the majority of them these days are selecting it because they're getting it for free. It's a leasing option. So solar leasing company comes in, says, Tim, it won't cost you anything. We're going to put this up. You're going to get some savings, and we're going to get some savings. The question is, where does that line fall on who gets the majority of the savings? So, you know, if someone says, hey, you can drive this car for free for 9 months or a year, you go, wow, it doesn't cost me anything. Well, wait a minute. Is there unknowns in there on the repair issues, taxes, insurance, all this other stuff? And are you really getting it for free? So I think the discrepancy out there is understanding where's the real value to the consumer on leasing versus purchasing, if you look at it that way. And then you look at your existing cost. And then, like Mike said, if you're looking at, does my house or land, because you could have ground mounted, offer enough space to put highly efficient panels up? And can I get opinions from one, two, or three different solar companies, leasing and buying? And do I take out a home equity line? Mm-hmm. Or does a solar company maybe offer a financing option, not on a lease, but on a purchase?
So I've heard financial, yeah. Right? What's the other one?
Environmental. That's the other big one.
So if you're green.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think people look at it environmentally, you know, a couple different ways. you're looking kind of what the panels do in terms of what you might think you can save or you know, how you're helping the planet versus fossil fuels. But although you can look at it that way, you also have to look at that there is no perfect solution, and the solar panels or the batteries or any of those things, you know, have to be created from things in the environment. So it's not a zero sum game. It's looking at it, what a fossil fuels do to the environment, or the, you know, how we get fossil fuels out of the ground, and how do we get the things needed for solar panels and batteries out of the ground?
So I think you're getting into it. What are those draws? So you've got the people out there that are extremely green and they want to feel like they're doing something great for the planet, but in essence, they may not be.
Yeah. And I think that goes back to environmentally, you have to do your research as to where the materials that go into the solar arrays or the solar, you know, the products and the company that is offering them. You know, are you buying American-made panels, which are made in American factories with, you know, labor laws? Are you buying maybe Chinese-made panels, which maybe aren't as environmentally friendly because the manufacturing in China is not as environmentally kind as America? The raw materials that go into those panels and those batteries, where are they coming from? Are they coming from, you know, kind of like people look at, what's the word, when they, you know, properly mine diamonds?
Oh, yeah.
You know, same thing. There's certain countries.
But nobody's thinking of that.
Right.
Nobody's thinking.
Right.
And then the other thing, at the end of the cycle, whether it's 15, 20, 25 years or more, what's going to happen to these? Can you actually recycle these? Are they going to be dumped into some big hole and never degrade or be reused? I think that's the issue. When people say green, no one really knows right now. Certainly the solar companies aren't talking about it, on how do we recycle these into usable materials for either another solar panel or some other type of material.
Green is synonymous with grass-fed, you know?
Yeah. And I think the other thing too is you can have this conversation and come up with, you know, an idea or a final solution to what you think of it as, but that could change next week or next year as technology. You know, a gas-powered engine 60 years ago doesn't have anywhere near the efficiency that a gas-powered engine does nowadays. So you can look at fuel usage back then versus now. I wouldn't consider myself an expert by any means, but I casually read on things, and you know, you'll even see, you know, Elon Musk sometimes talk about that, where the battery technologies could be. People talk about how the batteries that Tesla uses or these solar arrays use to store the energy are using raw materials that have to be mined, and they're not as green. But there's also people that talk about technology coming out where pretty soon you'll have, you know, sodium batteries where they're basically using salt water. That could totally change everything, in terms of, you know, the green aspect and the environmental aspect of it.
You guys have piqued my interest. I'm excited to see what happens in the next episodes. Appreciate it.